the Agile brand.
Welcome to Season 6 of The Agile Brand, where we discuss marketing technology and customer experience trends, insights, and ideas with enterprise and technology platform leaders. We focus on the people, processes, data, and platforms that make brands successful, scalable, customer-focused, and sustainable. This is what makes an Agile brand. I'm your host, Greg Kilstrom, advising Fortune 1000 brands on MarTech, marketing operations, and CX, best-selling author and speaker. The Agile Brand Podcast is brought to you by Tech Systems, an industry leader in full-stack technology services, talent services, and real-world application. For more information, go to teksystems.com. Before we get started, I wanted to let you know that my latest book, Priority is Action, 7 Principles for Better Strategies, Decisions, and Outcomes, is now available. In it, I give ideas and insights for leaders and teams that need to make meaningful progress on their priorities. After all, our priorities are what we do, not what we say we'd like to do. You can find Priority is Action on Amazon or learn more on my website, gregkilstrom.com. Now let's get on to the show. Anyone listening to this show has heard us talk quite a bit about AI's impact on marketing and the customer experience. We've covered a pretty broad cross-section of approaches, but as you've likely heard on this show and in many of the other places you get information, it seems like generative AI is getting a lot of the attention these days. While our discussion will likely touch on Gen AI, today we're going to focus more on predictive analytics and predictive modeling, another area of AI that is just as powerful, if not more so in some cases, as the other types of artificial intelligence tools available. And specifically, we're going to talk about using predictive analytics to better succeed in a first-party data world. To help me discuss this topic, I'd like to welcome Alan Gilio, CMO at Leap Group. Alan, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, looking forward to talking about this topic with you. Why don't we get started with you giving a little background on yourself and what you're currently doing?
Sure. Yeah. So like you said, I'm CMO of Leap Group. I'm actually one of the co-founders of Leap Group. What, 25 years now? We'll be 25 years old this year, July 1st.
Nice.
So yeah, I've been in the advertising marketing business my whole life. Started as a designer and then kind of built out the agency. And now we have a holding company with 4 agencies within it. So that keeps me really busy.
Yeah. So yeah, we're gonna touch on a few different things here, but wanted to start by talking about first party data, certainly something top of mind, and predictive analytics also top of mind. Anything AI related these days? So
for sure.
let's start with a few definitions here, just so to kind of make sure everybody's on the same page here listening. So
yeah. You
know, we've touched plenty on the challenge of migrating to a first party data strategy on the show, but for those a little less familiar, can you give us some brief context here? What's the challenge we're solving for, and why do a lot of existing solutions fail to meet the challenge imposed by the, you know, third-party cookie deprecation, data privacy, and kind of all the above?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, it's a couple of years, I guess, in the making now. It's kind of been through an evolution, still continues to evolve with different companies deciding what they're going to do, not do. Obviously, the browsers, their strategy there, Google, their strategy there. Now we have regulations with all the GDPR, CCPA stuff. So we've been tracking along with that, obviously, being in this business, making sure clients are compliant, things like that, and really helping them on that first party data strategy, like you mentioned. I think the thing that's been interesting for us is that we've gotten into that side of it more, is understanding how many real human insights that we can get out of that first party data if used correctly. That's always been something that, you know, it's millions of records. What do we do with it? There's so much data behind it. There's inconsistencies with it. So we'll touch on that, I think, here in a little bit, but that's been one of the huge issues with looking at off-the-shelf kind of providers, things like that, is how do you make good use of the data that you have? How do you make it a good data set you can use? And also realizing that, you know, we've always looked at the third-party side as helping us with personalization, but you can really get to much more personalization with the first-party data side if you can actually come up with a good strategy there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this kind of mirrors the regulations, and, you know, sometimes regulation pushes us in the right direction, and even, you know, consumer sentiment and everything like that too, with privacy and, you know, with all the data breaches and all that. I feel like this is one of those areas where all of those things kind of converge to make things better, not only for consumers, but for brands as well. Would you agree?
Yes, I completely agree. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So next thing, and then we're going to tie all this stuff together, but, you know, artificial intelligence obviously gets lots of oxygen mm-hmm. these days in the, so to speak. And, you know, you'd think that OpenAI invented it with ChatGPT, you know, a year and a half ago or so, but, you know, obviously it's been around for decades. It's as long as, computers have been machines, it's been around, but can you briefly speak to, you know, when we mentioned the term predictive analytics, a little, you know, generative AI is getting a lot of the oxygen in that conversation, but predictive analytics, you know, how does this differ from some of the other incarnations of AI?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's a good question. It's interesting. Yeah. Cause AI can be so many things to so many people, and the definitions are all over the board. You know, when we look at predictive analytics, and I know there's different variations of that out there as well, we're really focusing on the data and then the statistical algorithms and the machine learning techniques that we use to look at probabilities, look at future outcomes based off of historical data. So it's looking at and using AI to make predictions about either future events, behavior, actions, activity, rather than simply saying, okay, well, we have the current data set, we know what that's telling us, but can we look at any sort of probabilities within the data that we can identify? So that's for us our biggest area that we've been looking at in terms of working with clients from a marketing and business consulting perspective.
Yeah. So then, you know, tying the two things together. So, you know, tying this first party shift and the predictive analytics, you know, what are the possibilities here?
Oh, it's crazy. Some of the stuff we've been able to get into, it's been fascinating. You know, we started with the first party data. A lot of clients coming to us saying, you know, we have all this data, we don't know what to do with it, it's terribly inconsistent. So really looking at that first party data, we started with just data pending. Okay, so can we identify, you know, that unique identifier, right? The personal identifiable information, the PII, can we come up with a constant there? Then can we start looking at cleaning it, getting it to a consistent state across? So, you know, for you, it's first name, last name. For me, it's first name, last name, you know, home address. Well, that's a simple example, but okay, well, that's inconsistent data. So we started there really just, okay, how can we get to a clean, consistent data set that we can start running probabilities against? So that's where we started working with, you know, outside vendors, data providers, all kinds of just data, you know, that we can either get ourselves or through, credible vendors, and then getting to a clean data set. From there, the sky's the limit in terms of looking at from a business consulting perspective. Why are consumers making these actions? What is your most viable product? What are people saying about your product? What are strategies that we can develop to, you know, increase market share? Or what are strategies we can understand that what competitive set is doing? So it takes a lot of different roads, depending on what the client's wanting to do, and then, you know, be able to project that out, look for these correlations within the data, has been huge in helping us develop out, I would say, more accurate strategies. Again, it's, you have to have the human involved, you have to have interpretation for sure, but it's given a lot of confidence to clients and saying, okay, yeah, we get the probability, we get the correlations, we understand that that's, you know, within the data set that we have. So there's a confidence that they have with the strategies we're putting forth.
Yeah. And so in creating those strategies, you ended up creating a product, and, you know, the product's called Human View. And, you know, what, as a professional services firm, you know, it's not necessarily typical to create your own software platform and stuff like that. Yep. And we'll get into some of the business stuff on that, because I'm curious about that in a minute. But in the meantime, you know, what unique use cases, or, you know, what kind of drove you to create that product, and maybe just briefly describe what it is.
Well, Human View really is just looking at the, you know, in response. So what I would say is that emerging potential of technologies like GPT, other things. You know, we've been working on large language models for a while now. We've built out within our own group a strong research group. We have anthropologists on staff that really look at it from a human perspective, not just a marketing angle. You know, when you combine those with your data scientists, your prompt engineers, it really opens up a big world. And it's clients, you know, asking us in terms of, okay, you know, yes, can I get to a clean data set? There's that first part that we already touched on. Okay, now that I'm here, what do I do with it? What can I glean from it? What can I put in front of my, you know, consumers? How do I stay more relevant? We have a saying here, market less, matter more. And it's about being highly relevant and creating experiences that matter. So our driving force was really more around trying to understand what an actual human wants to see. There's so much noise out there. There's so much commotion. Everyone's tired of all of it, including us in the business. And so how do we create a product that really gives us the insights that we need? Yes. Yeah. You have the focus groups and the research. Yes. We still do all that. Fair. But being able to get at this kind of scale, when you're looking through 3, 6, 10 million records, right? It's not humanly possible to process that. And so that's been really just amazing to get through and start seeing all these correlations that are coming through the data that honestly we just never saw before, because we just didn't have the ability to crunch that kind of data.
Yeah. Yeah. And you kind of touched on this, but, you know, just curious, the, you know, some of the types of results that you've been able to get for your clients with HumanView.
Well, it's interesting. You know, we've started now getting into product review side of it, like looking at unstructured data as well as just the first party data. It's everything from, you know, we had a financial services client come to us and say, okay, well, we have, you know, I think they had like 7 million customers across the different product sets, right? And they're like, when looking at our current consumer, they only use one of our products. How do we get them to, you know, utilize two or three of our products? So that was a process we went through, again, cleaned it up, got, you know, a consistent data set that we could analyze, and then started understanding, okay, well, certain regions of the country had a different appetite for certain products, different type of demographic had a different appetite for different products. And so by able to seeing, okay, people that use two products, what do they look like? People that use three products, what do they look like? Why are they using it? Where are they located? That enabled us to put a strategy together for them to be much more regional in their marketing, much more effective, be able to actually start converting even existing clients, customers that they had from just a one product use to multiple, but then also in their general brand and marketing strategies, develop a strategy where they were appealing to consumers that wanted to look for a more quote unquote full service bank, not just a one or two kind of, you know, product. So that's a good example there. We've used it for a moving company, trying to help them analyze who are their best customers. Obviously movies is expensive. I know it's on the decrease right now with all the interest rates, but you know, during the pandemic stuff is that moving was booming. And so how do we scale for that? What does our best consumer look like? How much are they willing to spend? So we've been able to use the data for those types of insights.
And so to give those listening a sense of, you know, just how drastic some of these, you know, not only how easy it can be, but also, you know, what it would take to actually do this without AI and, you know, predictive and all these tools, like what would a client need to do to, you know, to do some of these things? I mean, you talk about processing unstructured data and, you know, there's certainly challenges with doing that, in the first place. So, you know, what would a client have to do to get to those same results in the past?
I think a lot of it was out of reach for a majority of businesses. You obviously your large businesses that work with your large consulting firms and, you know, your big data providers that honestly probably have had that capability for a number of years now, but it's been out of reach for majority of businesses. And so that was kind of a lot of our motivation, was really trying to bring this to a point where it's available, because in a lot of cases it just wasn't. I mean, to your point, you know, what would they have to do? They just... There was no like just off the shelf type software you could get that would just go crunch millions of records. You have to train the models. There's that human element, right? You have to make sure that the model's trained correctly. There's the analysis of the output to make sure that there's, you know, it's not lying to you, right?
Right.
So I think in a lot of cases, it was just not available for a majority of the clients that at least we work with and that we're attracting right now.
Yeah. And with any work involving AI, it requires good data and a lot of times a lot of data to really do it as effectively as possible. What kind of, you know, foundational work needs to be in place to really make use or make best use of a tool like this? You know, do they need to get their data house in order, so to speak?
If we're dealing with trying to gain insights off their existing data, yes. Running it through a cleaning process is definitely the first process to walk through. Do the data pending, get, you know, and it can be one or two variables. It can be a 3, 5 variables. It depends on how complex and how sophisticated, I guess, the outcome has to be. So yeah, that would be the first process. It doesn't always have to take a lot. It's not always as expensive, I think, as everyone is. You know, obviously if you're working with the big credit bureaus, versus smaller data sets, that's a big difference in cost, but
sure. Yeah.
There's a lot that is out there in terms of a credible data source. So yeah, step one, get your, you know, and that's something we can definitely help with. We do a lot of that, is get to a clean data set that you have confidence that your sample size is going to be good. Then from there, it's really just, yeah, identifying what marketing strategy are we struggling with, or is there an insight that we want to get to? Is there a creative output? Is there a competitive set that we're up against that we just can't, you know, seem to crack? We keep losing again. So identifying what are the one or two marketing challenges that we want to answer, and then go build and train those models. We don't have human being a spot right now where it's a SaaS model. Do we ever get it there? I don't know. Maybe, probably not, just because we really have that human aspect to it of the analytics and analyzing the outcome and training the models. So we'll have to see on that. But the goal has been to try to make it available to a lot more businesses and not make it nearly as intensive as it has been before.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about just the business model here. So, you know, Leap Group is a marketing agency. Certainly, you know, as you mentioned, there's a lot, you have R&D and you have a lot of other things that you're doing and pursuing, but offering a software platform is not always the norm in, you know, in this. So, you know, and excuse the pun, but you know, what led you to make the leap, so to speak, to, you know, to offering a software platform as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we think here that the advertising marketing industry is really shifting. You have a lot of companies and even, you know, mid-sized companies now bringing in their own internal marketing departments. And so we believe, you know, our business over the next 10 years, if you're not in business consulting, high-end creative and product development, specifically in the data and tech fields, that you're probably going to be irrelevant. We see it with our own clients. You know, they don't want us to do just the production work anymore. They really want us to bring in and help them identify business goals or business challenges. And so, you know, we already had like the research department of four and things like that would do just your typical research you'd anticipate a marketing research, you know, advertising firm doing, but it just wasn't enough. We couldn't get to the detail that we wanted. We couldn't get to those real human insights that we wanted. It was fairly generic. And so our business, you know, our clients do ask us for not just the, you know, the vanity metrics, so to speak. Those can be important. Obviously, those can show directional, but they help me actually get business results. I need my bottom line to increase, or I need to get this product into market, or we have an idea for a concept. Is it going to work? We just did a consulting with a large cookie company. And it's a brand that you would be familiar with, you grew up with, your grandma had a tin of it. And as we're going through and looking at all the consumer sentiment that we had, it was the number one reason why you'd buy it is as a gift. And then the number one sentiment was disappointment, because we all remembered as children thinking it was fantastic because your grandma had it and you get a cookie from her. As an adult with all of the craft cookie companies out there now, it just doesn't taste as good anymore. And so the number one response that we got was disappointment. Like, it's not like I remembered. I'm disappointed in it. So as we went back and we started doing that, consulting them and giving them the findings, you know, it was a business decision that they had to make, right? Like, do we change our recipe? Ultimately, they decided, no, we're not going to change our recipe. We are a manufacturing business. We are not a cookie company. And so it'll be interesting to see where they're at years from now. Are they able to maintain market share? Probably not. They'll probably lose it because of all the other much higher quality cookies that are in the marketplace. So that's just one example of this, that business consulting. That's obviously in a nothing to do with advertising, right? It's not an ad we're putting out. It's not a TV spot we're creating. It's literally the actual recipe and the disappointment consumers are having in their product.
Yeah. And so, you know, you've kind of touched on this, but I wanted to dig a little deeper here. So, you know, you mentioned some of what's changing in, you know, and I'm a former marketing agency owner. It's been, you know, 5 or 6 years. So I'm a little, maybe a little out of touch with what's changed very recently. But some of the reason to create something like Human View was because of the nature of the questions that you were being asked, you know, the business questions to what you were just saying. Are you looking for other ways to create software platforms, or is it more about the questions that you're being asked? And in other words, is it more a kind of a mental shift to being more of a software company, or is it simply, or not simply, but is it more about, you know, trying to solve your customer needs, which are, again, the questions are changing that they're asking?
I would say it's probably the latter, Greg. It's yeah. answering our clients' questions and really changing our focus from just a, you know, marketing advertising company to a business consulting company, a company yeah. that's actually getting business results and driving real value to our customers. Yeah. And then recognizing that, again, there are other platforms out there, and they're really good platforms. So I won't even throw shade on them. They're just really expensive, very, very expensive. Yeah. And, you know, that's where initially we started. We're like, oh, well, you know, see if we can get a vendor relationship. And it's just so unattainable. And so we've had a lot of interest from just, you know, companies that are like, thank goodness this is available. This is, you know, this has given us a lot of insight, a lot of help into what we can do just from a company perspective, not even just a advertising marketing perspective anymore, and in an affordable way. You know, every company has to stay relevant. Like I said earlier, there's so much noise, so much just crap out there that everyone's dealing with. Right. And so, yeah. you know, trying to focus in on the areas that you can be successful at nowadays with just how much content you have to produce. If you can produce less, that's great. You know, going back to market less, matter more, it's not always about throwing more out there. It's about being more relevant. And that's what this tool helps us do, is really try to understand, like, what does an actual person care about?
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Well, Alan, thanks so much for joining. One last question before we wrap up here. You've given a lot of great advice, a lot of great insights already, but what's one next best action that you'd recommend for those listening that want to ready themselves to use a tool with predictive analytics?
The number one thing we run into, don't be afraid of it. is just, you know, embrace it, own it, figure out what you need for your own organization. Where we started, right, there's so much conversation about AI and what should I do and am I falling behind? It's been out there, like you said, for years. There's so many different ways that you can use AI and machine learning to help your business. Just don't be afraid of it. Just take your time, figure it out. Don't let it overwhelm you.
Yeah, great advice. Well, again, I'd like to thank Alan Gilio, CMO at Leap Group, for joining the show. You can learn more about Alan and Leap Group by following the links in the show notes. Thanks again for listening to The Agile Brand, brought to you by Tech Systems. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to subscribe and leave us a rating so that others can find the show more easily. You can access more episodes of the show at www.gregkihlstrom.com. That's GregKihlstrom.com. While you're there, check out my series of best-selling Agile Brand Guides, covering a wide variety of marketing technology topics, or you can search for Greg Kihlstrom on Amazon. The Agile Brand is produced by Missing Link, a Latina-owned, strategy-driven, creatively-fueled production co-op. From ideation to creation, they craft human connections through intelligent, engaging, and informative content. Until next time, stay agile.
The Agile Brand.